Church, we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to go and intercede for one of the gentlemen that's on our online campus this morning. Samuel, I know you're out there this morning. And I just want to say that you have a church standing with you today, that taking your life, we're going to stand with you today. Samuel, you don't need to buy into the lies of the enemy. That song says, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Samuel, you have a whole church right now and a lot of people online with you, and we are going to pray for you and agree that you don't end your life this morning. The whole reason that we have an online campus and that we broadcast is to reach people like you. And I'm going to pray this morning that you seek the Lord, that he answers, because he hears you. Cross Point Church, join with your pastor and the pastors on staff and the leadership as we're going to intercede for Samuel this morning and believe with him that life is precious, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, Cross Point Church seeks you today on behalf of Samuel's life. Lord God, we pray right now that you reach him wherever he may be throughout the world, Lord God. We just stand in agreement with him that life is precious, that there is hope in Jesus, to seek Jesus and give him a try. And Samuel, I just know that I know that I know as a witness today that if you seek the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to hear you and he's going to answer you this morning. On behalf of this church, Lord God, we ask that you intercede in Samuel's life this morning. That you give him purpose and hope, Lord God. That you speak to him this day that he logged on to our broadcast for a reason. That the church surrounds him with love and speaks hope and life. As many of us here in the worship center, many online can all agree that Jesus is the way. And Lord God, we just pray that that same power that rose Jesus from the dead goes and dwells within Samuel's life today. We thank you, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that gives us all hope. Amen. Amen. Church, you may be seated because we're not done praying yet. I'm going to ask our worship team to continue to play. Many of you know that we had some situations in our country and throughout the world that happened yesterday. The sovereign nation of Israel was attacked. If you haven't seen that on the news, I had people texting me yesterday, Pastor, did you know? Did you know? I know. The country of Iran attacked Israel by sending hundreds of drones and missiles to the country. And I just feel impressed this morning, church, that we are going to stand with Israel and pray. We are going to stand with Israel and pray. And I just want to lead us through some prayers this morning, so if you would just join with me and pray, I would appreciate that. The first thing I want to pray is Psalm 122:6. It says, pray for the peace of Israel. The scripture reads, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask you send peace and prosperity to Jerusalem this morning. Your word says that Jerusalem was built as a city where the tribes could go and give thanks to the name of the Lord. Father God, I pray for peace within Jerusalem's walls, and I give thanks to you that you will protect them in the mighty name of Jesus. Matthew 23:39 says that we pray for Israel to come to know the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture reads, for I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray, church. Father God, we know that all of Israel will be saved according to Romans 11:26. We lift up prayers today at Cross Point Church for Israel to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize him as their Messiah and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Exodus 23, 31, it says, pray for Israel's borders that they will be secure. And the scripture reads like this, and I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the seas, Philistia, and from the desert to the river, for I will deliver those inhabitants of the land into your hands, and you shall drive them out from your borders before you. I will push them out. The scripture speaks, Father God, in Jesus' name, we lift up prayers for Israel's borders. And we lift up prayers for those people and countries protecting those borders. We ask that security be strengthened and wisdom imparted to those leaders, Lord God. I ask for wisdom to be imparted into soldiers that protect those borders. And I pray, Lord God, that the enemies that try to invade those borders cannot. Lord God, I thank you for the protection you gave them yesterday, Father. And I pray for that continued protection on those borders of the country of Israel. The scripture speaks in Psalm 91:4. It says, pray for those in Israel to run to God's wings of protection. The scripture reads like this, church. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Let's pray together as a church. We say, Father, we pray for all those people in Israel that are impacted by the attacks to turn their eyes to you. I pray, Lord God, they take shelter under your wings. I pray that they learn the truth about Jesus and learn the truth about your spiritual armor. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 138:7 says, pray for all those held captive and all the hostages. The scripture says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of those enemies, and your right hand will save me. Save me no matter where I'm at. Save me no matter what the situation. Save me no matter the adversity that I am experiencing today. I believe that the scripture is true that you will save me, Lord God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray for all those who were and are held captive and hostage in Gaza. We pray that they will know that you walk with them in the midst of their troubles, and your right hand delivers them and will save them. Lord, give them strength, peace, and freedom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Church, in Zechariah 12, 4 through 5, it says to pray that the supernatural will protect and empower Jerusalem and also the people of all of Israel. It reads like this, in that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its riders with madness. Today, it's striking soldiers and tanks and all those missiles with confusion. I will open up the eyes of the house of Judah, and I will strike every horse of the people with blindness, and the governors of Judah shall see in their heart that the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, says the Lord thy God. And we pray, Father God, we lift up prayers for Israel's protection and their empowerment, Father God. I pray that you guard their cities, their borders, and empower those leaders with wisdom and strength, displaying your glory as they defend their nation, the nation that you bless. Genesis 12:3 and Isaiah 60:12, it talks about praying for the nations and the groups that come against the country of Israel and its people, and that the power of God will turn their minds away, so they won't be cursed, so they won't be ruined, so they will come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And even though people are attacking the sovereign nation of Israel, we will still pray for those people because Jesus still loved and died for them as well. And the Bible says in Genesis 12:3, it says, I will bless those who bless you, talking of Israel, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah 60:12 says, for the nation and the kingdom will not serve you. They shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined. And we believe that Jesus Christ will save them. He can and will save them. We believe. Father, we lift up in prayer for Israel and the nations that surround it. We pray for those nations, those groups, to encounter your mercy, your love, to experience you, Lord. And that love will cause them to turn away from this rebellion against Israel, so they will not be utterly ruined, and they will experience the blessing of your kingdom. I pray for that this morning, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cross Point Church, give them praise this morning. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, this morning. We will continue to stand by Israel. You know, the reports this morning said there has been really no damage, that everything held secure, that the United States and the allies of the state of Israel, the country of Israel, came to their aid, shot down drones, shot down missiles. I don't know the details. I only know what we read. But here's what we know, that they are fine, and God reigns. God reigns. And we stand with them because the Bible says to stand with them. Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning, everybody online. Thank you so much for joining us today. Boy, do we have a busy few weeks coming up. I want to personally invite you and encourage you, church, to do your pastor this huge favor. And 2 weeks from today, we're going to honor and celebrate with Mike and Christine Snodgrass, commissioning them into full-time ministry, and celebrating with Pastor Mike, who was just recently licensed as a licensed minister of the Assemblies of God. Credential, a national credential. This is a huge undertaking. Both him and Christine are licensed ministers. We want to celebrate that with them. And to celebrate that, we have invited Pastor Dan Lunn and his lovely wife, Krista Lunn, the assistant superintendent of the state of Ohio for the Assemblies of God, to come here in 2 weeks from today and celebrate with us. Right after service, we will have a celebration luncheon in the Graber Life Center. So my ask of my church, you got 2 weeks. Don't let your pastor down. Fill the house. Fill the house. We will be inviting many churches to join us. Pastor Dan does a lot of speaking throughout the state of Ohio, as does other leadership of the Ohio Ministry Network. But we are blessed to have him and Krista here with us in 2 weeks to celebrate with us. They honor the leadership that are moving into full-time ministry like Mike and Christine have done. And they want to be here and celebrate with us. I would ask that you make yourself available, right? Make yourself available on that day and be here with us. Right after that, a few weeks, we're going to do something that we have never done before. As Pastor Mike has mentioned, we're going to have the Cross Point Cruise In. Now, you know, God laid this on my heart a year ago, and my wife convinced me to wait for about a year, and she was, boy, was she right. Lord, thank you for letting me listen, right? Whew, that's a big undertaking to do. You know, we're going to have lots of people here. Malone has given us their parking facilities offside. Let's see, that would be what, to the east of our church. We have that entire parking lot to use. Why? Because we're going to be filled up. If you've got some type of car that you would like to bring, we're just going to have a time and come together, food, fellowship, and faith. The church will be ministering to the hundreds and hundreds of people that will be here that day. And there's going to be a lot of people. I pray that the church comes out in full force. We're going to empower you with some brochures or some cards to pass out. So when you're in the crowd, you will be able to minister to the people that come onto our campus and bless them. You will have a captive audience, church. You will have many people that show up that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord Savior, and you will have the opportunity to pass out a tract and bless them and pray with them, spend time with them as we celebrate together as a church family, and just come around for some fun. You're allowed to have fun in church, but we're going to use the event to reach people for Jesus. And you're going to be empowered to do that. As we have been preaching, church, on June 1st, let's roll. Let's roll and reach people. Now, there's this rumor that the pastor is going to bring his Harley to the event, and that's true. But there's this other rumor that I'm not sure it's true, but boy, I'm going to pray for it, that my wife is going to tootle around the parking lot on the Harley by herself. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. No, she's saying, there ain't no way, right? I don't know. The power of prayer is powerful, right? Church, I would ask that you agree with me in the next few weeks that Nicole will hop on that motorcycle and tootle around, right? Could you not see that, right? Yeah, right, right. Church, we are going to have a great kickoff to the summer of 2024. We're going to be blessed. We are just going to continue to roll. Like, let's roll. And that's what the series is about. Just ordinary people becoming extraordinary, doing extraordinary things. We're going to give you the opportunity on June 1st to be extraordinary. We're just ordinary people. But we'll give you an event to be extraordinary and reach as many people as you possibly can, because I got a feeling there'll be 400 or 500 people here just celebrating with us and enjoying the day. Now, I have invited and they have accepted the Lauber Brothers are going to be here from 1 to 3 playing live music. Now, the Lauber Brothers are my cousins. They are believers, and they're going to be here blessing us with some of their own music and blessing us with some other music as well. And they're going to probably rock the parking lot because that's what they do. They're a very large regional band with a big following, and you're going to be blessed in our Cross Point Church. Worship team will be playing as well, and possibly another group will be playing. So you want to be here as we go from ordinary to extraordinary, right? Last week, we talked about moving out. That's exactly what we're going to do on June 1st, is just move out. After the Easter situation, right, after Easter, there is the mission that Christ gave the disciples, right? Go preach. Go reach and preach. You know, and I just know, make yourself available and do whatever you have to do to reach people. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to do whatever we've got to do to reach people. And I don't know, maybe it's my wife tootling around the parking lot on the Harley, or just opening up our church so people could come in and just have a great time, get a hamburger or hot dog, listen to some great music, and fellowship together. Faith, food, and fellowship is what we're going to do on that day, just like we do on a journey night, right? Jesus left planet Earth on a review of what we talked about last week, and his focus kind of changed. His focus changed. He was hanging out on planet Earth with many people, especially the disciples. He was mentoring them. He was teaching them. He was preparing them for when he was not going to be here. He ascends to the right hand of the Father, and the focus changes a little bit to equipping, overseeing, and interceding. Who? You and I. The believer. The disciples moved out from ordinary to extraordinary. Before, they were watching what Jesus was doing, and now they were going out doing what Jesus taught them to do. Exactly what you're going to do on June 1st here is move out into the extraordinary and reach people, just like he has equipped us to do, just like he has prepared us to do, just like he has interceded on our behalf for us to do. You will get the opportunity to do exactly what he trained us to do. And that's what this series is all about. We're going to roll from going to extraordinary, from just being ordinary. And last week we talked about, if you want to do that, you've got to present yourself to the Lord as worthy, right, and available. And we're going to talk about the availability here today, but you had to present yourself. You want to present yourself, Lord God, I'm worthy. I'm not perfect, but I'm worthy. I'm doing the right things, Lord. Bless me, and here I am saying I'm available to you. And we came around the altar at the conclusion of the service, and we made this presentation to heaven. And I did that because on June 1st, you're going to get the opportunity to do that. See, there's a method to the madness, folks, right? And we presented ourselves to heaven as worthy and available. We taught you last week that you've got to be willing to stay in your current situation. It's really hard sometimes to stay in your current situation. But we taught you if you're not willing to be used in your current situation, you're not worthy to be trusted somewhere else. Lasting fruit always comes with a lasting presence. Lasting fruit builds off of a lasting presence. We're so quick anymore just to jump and move to something else. And God is saying, you know, I'm not done with you yet in this situation. Are you willing to stay there? Right? Are you willing to be sent and are you willing to go? We talked about last week. That means I'm available and I'm willing to go. I'm available to be sent and I'm willing to go where you send me. Or send me into some new situation or new ministry or a new opportunity. I'm willing to follow the Holy Spirit we talked about. And why did I mention that? Because the scripture mentions some people are not willing to follow the Holy Spirit. Because it says some are led, meaning some are not, right? We talked about that. You got to be willing to intercede. If you want Jesus to intercede on your behalf, we've got to be willing to intercede on others like we just did this morning when we saw what we saw on the online campus. We've got to be willing to come together and intercede for each other, right? So last week, we presented ourselves to God and said, we're worthy, Lord. We believe we're doing the right things. We're moving in the right directions, and now we're available. And so today, I want to talk to you for a few short moments about the title of this message. And you're going to say, what is that? Unexpected availability. Unexpected availability. Boy, watch what happens here, folks, in a few minutes as this unfolds. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 through 29. We will jump right in. It should be on the screen behind me or on the device in front of you. And it reads, notice among yourselves, as Paul writes, dear brothers, that few of you who follow Christ have big names or power or wealth. What does he say there? You're just ordinary people. It's exactly what that means. You're not powerful. You don't have all this influence. You're just ordinary. Just like me, he writes, right? You're just ordinary. Verse 27, instead, God has deliberately chosen. That means God has set himself this plan to do it this way. To use these ordinary people to do something extraordinary. And watch what he does. That's his method. To use the ideas the world considers foolish and of little worth in order to, now here's the reason he does it, to shame those people considered by the world as wise and great. Now, right away you got to say to yourself, I want to be that ordinary person, right? That God uses in this plan to go shame those who think they're better than me, right? We're all taking that, right? But God does have that plan. He has chosen a plan to despise the world and count it as nothing at all, and he's used it to bring down to nothing those the world considers great. So that no one, nowhere, anywhere can ever brag in the presence of God. God has a plan, and he's going to make ordinary people extraordinary and expose those people who think they're really something, and he's going to use you and I to do it. Just ordinary, everyday folks, right? What a plan. You know, in the Bible, it talks all about the stories of what God used to do, right, in the past. Not used to, but he did, right? Let me read you a couple of those. God used trumpets to bring down the walls of Jericho. He took Gideon's army from 32,000 to 300 to defeat the Midians. If you know the story in the Bible, there was 32,000. He just whittled it down to 300 and said, go. Why? That's all you need. You got me behind you. He enabled Samson to defeat a whole army. God's plan to shame people the world thinks are wise and great is to use just ordinary people who make themselves available to be used. They just make themselves available. Available for what? The unexpected. They don't go into the situation saying, I want to get this out of it. They go into the situation of being available to heaven for the unexpected. For God to use them however God so chooses. If Thoughts like this, church: God doesn't care about your ability. He doesn't, but only your availability. If you prove your dependability, he will increase your capability. Now, we just got to leave that on the screen behind me or on your device just for a second, because I just want that to settle in to you. You got to just look at that and really understand what that means. And maybe this will bring to light why some of us struggle with some of the things. God doesn't care about your ability, but only your availability. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have natural ability, because many of you do. God-given natural ability, right? I've watched this basketball tournament recently here, the NCAA basketball tournament, those men and those women, and I don't know. That athleticism is just unbelievable, right? It's just crazy how they jump and dribble and do all the things that they do, and it's like so natural. That's a God-given ability, right? But God is more interested in the availability in their lives. And he wants you to prove your dependability on him, so he'll then increase your capacity. Who are some of the extraordinary people in the Bible that you think about? Who's some, you know, I started making a list here. And I had to stop because there was just so many. And I started reading my notes for the message today. I thought there was no way I could go because that's too long. We'll be here for, right, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And see, you didn't catch that, did you? It's okay. We'll be here a long time. So I just picked, yeah, a few. And everybody has this perception of the ones I'm going to list. And I remember this one like this. And you know, how they changed people's lives because they were available. What about Moses? I grew up watching the Ten Commandments with my mom, right? Now, I'm not saying it was biblically accurate, all of those things, but at least there was a movie out there. You know, a man that led millions out of captivity in Egypt. How'd he do that? He made himself available. Now, there might have been times that he kicked and screamed about it and whined about it, but he made himself available to do it. He finally gave in, right? And he went and did it, among many other things. Pastor Mike, a few weeks ago, had a message about Elijah. Elijah used to oppose a wicked king. He brought revival in the land. He was bold. He was decisive. He was fearful. He was tentative. That's us, church, right? He showed victory, followed by recoveries and depressions and all these things that we go through. But what a mighty man. What am I saying? He's ordinary. But boy, did he do extraordinary things. Why? He's available. He's available. James 5:17 reads like this: Elijah was a person just like us. That means he was ordinary, just like you and I. When he earnestly prayed, though, that it wouldn't rain, no rain fell for 3.5 years. Now, I'm going to ask somebody here that's feeling led to be available to God to pray for sunshine for the next 3.5 years. Right? Right? I don't know. We've had enough rain, right? Right? Come on, right? And they tell me tonight we're going to have these violent storms that's going to give us another inch or two of rain. I mowed my grass yesterday, and I was like, with the tractor, like skidding across the grass. I thought it was dry enough, right? And the wife says, what did you do to your yard? It's just like, you know, I said, I tried not to do that in the front, right? It was bad in the back, and finally I had to stop because I like would go sideways and it would just keep going. Like, I would turn, and the thing with the tractor would just keep sliding across the grass. But wow. You should see him. It looks like it was just awful. But it's going to rain. But this guy, because he's available to God, prays, it's not going to rain. I'm ordinary. I'm going to pray it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And then, right? What about King David? Love King David. The Bible says, a man after God's own heart, he slew the giant Goliath. He was anointed king as a teenager of Israel. 13, 14, 15 years old, 16 maybe, somewhere in there. He sinned, as we all do. He arranged to have Uriah's, you know, the situation with Uriah. He put him on the front line. He was killed just so he could get a hold of his wife. He paid a price for that. But God promised David that he would be a that had descended would come from him and rule as a king, and that's Jesus. David was available. What about John the Baptist? I just started picking. My list was 42 people. I had to put it down to like 6. John the Baptist, born to elderly parents. They didn't think they were going to have a child. This is the guy that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. Right? He was like the precursor of the modern day evangelist. Why? He made himself available. What about Abraham? I really like Abraham. I like them all, but I just really like Abraham. Because before they named him, God named him Abraham. His name was Abram. And God asked him to do something. Leave home and leave family. Leave home, leave family. Where am I? I'm not. Just leave home, leave family. Make yourself available to me. Right? And Abraham became the father of many nations. Right? And God tested his faith to see if he was available to him to serve. And go sacrifice your son Isaac on an altar. And so he goes to do that. And of course God stopped him. Aside from Moses, Abraham is the most mentioned Old Testament person in the New Testament, next to Moses. Number 2. People that just made themselves available. What about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament? We love Paul, right? He was given the opportunity. That means he made himself available to do extraordinary things. But he hated Christians at the beginning. He despised them. He was out to kill them, right? I call him a Christian hater. But he became the apostle of grace. He meets Jesus one day on a road, and Jesus transforms him. Just like he's transformed me, just like he's transformed most of you. He heads out and does multiple missionary journeys and writes many of the books of the New Testament. Why? What happened that allowed him to do that? Yes, God, but he made himself available to be used. He made himself available to be used. So many others, Samuel, Esther, Ruth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the disciples, all the other names, the ones I didn't mention, so many of them. And you look at the bottom line of why they were so extraordinary, and we talk and teach and preach about them today, they made themselves available to heaven. I am not perfect, but God, use what I have, just however. It's not my natural ability you're after. You're after my availability to be used. God made them extraordinary. But they made themselves available. Available for what? The unexpected. They made themselves available for the unexpected. Paul's extraordinary life is summed up in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is my gain. That was his life. I'm available however you want, wherever you want, whatever you want me to do. I'm just available. And when I die, I'm going to die because it's a gain to die for you. And that's exactly what Paul did. Right? It's exactly. So here's a question for us this morning. What was so extraordinary about all those people I just mentioned and the many others? What's so extraordinary? You're sitting there and watching online. Say, well, they did amazing things. That's right. That's exactly what they did. The amazing things. Amazing things. They didn't do amazing things because they were extraordinary. They were just like you and I, ordinary people. But what does these ordinary people have in common? What do they have in common? As you read scripture after scripture, God, it's pastor, it's God. God was, well, sure, God was behind it. But besides the God factor, what was it? It was availability to be used. However, and wherever, and whenever. They were all available to God and therefore did extraordinary, unexpected things. I don't think Moses started out thinking, I'm going to do these great things. I'm going to go deliver 4 million plus people from captivity. I don't think he started off like that. I don't think that was in his thought. I don't think Abraham said this. Abraham said, I'm going to go do these great things. God started speaking to him at that time. Yeah, I know. And laying out the foundation, laying out the roadmap. But he still had to leave home and make himself available. He still had to say, okay, I'll leave home and my family, and I'll just venture out. I'll make myself available. I'm not sure where I'm going to pitch my tent, but I'm going to go. Just like Paul, I don't think he set out to be a God champion because he was a Christian hater. I don't think he said, I'm going to go out and do these great and extraordinary things. I'm going to be a God champion. This is what I'm going to do. They're all a result of an unexpected availability. They made themselves available for unexpected things to happen. Things that they never saw coming, so to speak. Their unexpected availability, that means making yourself available for some extraordinary, unexpected result. Right? The word unexpected, no idea I would be used like that until I made myself available. So therefore, you'll never get to the unexpected in your life if you don't make yourself available. We have people like that sitting in our worship center today and watching online. They are people that just make themselves available no matter what. They will do it, and these things that show up in their lives, these unexpected things show up because they made themselves available. That's most of the people in the Bible. They made themselves available so some unexpected event or situation or extraordinary thing happens. It's the same thing that happens today. You and I could do exactly that, an unexpected availability. So there's other people, they see where God is working, and they make themselves available, and they join in that work. So it's like this. Other people, God's word, it's filled. So they see this scenario over here. God's really moving over here. I'm going to go join that work over there because God is doing something. I'm going to make myself available. Let me give you an example. We started Journey Night here months ago by combining our Monday and our Wednesday outreach. Monday used to be the Journey Night. Wednesday was still our family night. And we combined them into one big Journey Night on Wednesday night. Pastor Mike and Christine pastor that night, do a fabulous job. And all of a sudden, you start to see God moving. We average, 5-10 visitors, first-time visitors every single Wednesday night, something like that, right, Pastor Mike? And so people, we have regulars that are coming that aren't affiliated with our church. God starts to move. And all of a sudden, more and more people want to get involved in that situation. Why? Because God's working. And so they make themselves available for a move of God. And more people have jumped in there. You know who you are. It's such a blessing. More people get involved to help because they see the hand of God moving. Now, if you want to help with the cruise in, you can make yourself available. I'm going to adopt you anyways. We're going to empower you to be involved anyways. You'll have 400, 500, 600 people in your parking lot on June 1st if the weather holds up, and I'm going to ask you for praying for good weather, like 80 and sunny, right, to kick off the summer. If you make yourself available, lives will be transformed. If you stay home, you won't touch anybody. Right? That's what it's about. Excuse me. People see a move of God, and they go there, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. We have people like that here today, right? That's great. Other people only make themselves available if they know the outcome of where they're being sent or what God is asking them to do. Okay, they make themselves available, but only if God gives them the precursor of what's going to happen. Man, are you missing out of the unexpected. But it doesn't mean God won't still use you. I just think you're missing out on some great things. some unexpected things. Because you have already decided that God's got to do this and this at this location for you to go. That's the conditions you lay down for God. Instead of saying, I'm available for whatever it is. We have people like that, and they learn how to be available. Other people only make themselves available if they know the outcome, right? However, others claim to be available. Listen to this. Others claim to be available to God by dragging God with them to where they think he should be. Right? Ever run into people like that? I'm available to God. God's moving over there. We're all going to go there because that's God. Nothing's going on over there. I don't see anything going on. But God's, I'm telling you, we all see God. And then they get to the situation or the location, and they just like, God, you got to do something here. That's okay to pray for the situation. I'm not saying that. But you can't manufacture your availability. You can't tell God, I'll be available only if you do this. That's what they're doing. I'll go here and I'll do this. But God, it's this and this only. And God says, no, I want you available for whatever I want to do, not what you want me to always do. It's okay to pray for the situation. It's okay to be led. It's okay. We do it all the time. But if you're going to say to God, here's the conditions of my availability, you're not going to get it. My condition, God, to be available is if you do this, this, and this, then I'll be available. I call that just conditional availability. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be real transparent. Preachers do it all the time. They do it all the time. Preachers do it all the time, right? We are guilty of conditional availability. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow, that means God made a preparation for you to be available. He created you to be available. He's put this whole scenario together. I really broke it down. I should have it on the screen, but I don't. It goes like this. There's faith in your life, right? That faith led to a salvation experience for most of you, right? Your faith led you to salvation. That salvation leads you to being available for the works of God. Being available then leads to your good works, what you do on planet Earth. And then those good works and that process leads to that reward from heaven that's going to bless your life, not only on Earth, but for all eternity, right? Faith, salvation, availability, good works, reward, faith, salvation. In the midst of middle availability, I'm going to make myself available to do good works and get rewarded. What's in the middle of those availability is in the middle. Where's Jesus always at, church? In the middle of your availability. Now, what happens if you don't make yourself available? You don't get the good works. You don't get to the reward. Because right in the middle is Jesus, right in the middle is availability, and you make a decision whether you're going to avail yourself or not. Therefore, the reward, the unexpected results of your availability doesn't show up. God, I'll do it if I do it like this. I just want to challenge you this morning, church, to do whatever, you know, just to make yourself available. And you watch how God will move through your life if you just say, I will be available for whatever, wherever, however you want to lead me, Lord God, I'm here. I know people like that in this church. I know people like that. There is a work waiting for you to avail yourself to, which God will make extraordinary with unexpected results. Problem is, we don't always believe that. Here's a thought for you. It goes like this. When you think nothing significant can happen through you, that speaks more about your unbelief in God than it does about your natural abilities. Right? See, many people with natural abilities fail, while others with limited to no natural abilities are successful. I've seen more people that have no giftings in certain things, and they are the most successful people. Why? Because they unveil themselves to God. God shows up, and God does it through their availability. right into the works, right into the reward, right? Look what it says in Job 8:7. It says, although your former state was ordinary, your future will be extraordinary. If you know the story of Job, I thought his original, the first part of his life was really extraordinary, right? God had that, allowed that to be taken, and it ended up to be extraordinary. What's in the middle of ordinary and extraordinary? Jesus. Jesus is in the middle, church. Listen to this, it goes like this. It may not always be what you want it to be. It may not always look like you want it to look. That's the unexpected part. But it's what God needs it to be. And for you to get to what God needs it to be, we've got to be available to allow God to work through us to get us there. And we tend to put these restrictions on God as we're moving through the process. I will do this if you do this. I will go here if you do this. We add restrictions. We talked about that already, but we've got to understand we are God's vessel to get it done, and he will move us for his purpose if we make ourselves available. He'll move us. We are God's vessel. You know, I remember my mom talking about, you know, it's like a chessboard. I said this before. You know, God just moves me around. I don't want to move to that block, but God needs me to go there. I don't see success there, but God needs you there, right? We are God's vessel to get it done, and he will move us for his purpose if we make ourselves available. Let me read to you one of the most amazing and challenging scriptures that I believe. It's for me, right? It's in Ephesians 3:20. It reads like this. Now all glory to God who is able to, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ever would might ask or think. I'm going to read it again. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. Paul's completing a prayer here about being extraordinary. You can go back and read about it this week during your private devotional time or study. He's praying a prayer about being extraordinary, and he's laying out kind of like the ground rules, right? And he gets down to this scripture in verse 20. Now all glory to God, who's able, through that mighty power at work within each of us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ever ask or think. I just thought, maybe I'll break this down for you. God is able. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is able. He's able to do what we ask. I'm breaking down the scriptures. This is what it means. He's able to do what we ask. Somebody, right? He's able to do what we think. He's able to do what we think. He's able to do what we ask or think. He's able to do all that we ask or think. This is the diagram of the scripture. He's able to do above all that we ask or think, church. Think about what's going on. He's able to do more above what we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And how does he move there? If you believe and make yourself available. If you believe and make yourself available, there's the list of things that God's going to do through that scripture for your life. God is saying his ability is beyond my ability to ask or even imagine what it could be like for God's power to flow through me. It's so much, church, that you don't even see it. You don't even understand it. You can't even get to it. You can't even fathom it. You can't even do it. But what you can do to get the unexpected availability is just to be available. Church, let's roll, right? Let's just do it. Let's just like throw caution to the wind and say, God, I don't know. I don't know what I can do for this event. I'm just going to be available. I don't know what you want me to do. I'll just be available. Somebody told me this past week, they said, Pastor, I don't have natural abilities to sing. I don't have natural abilities to play an instrument. I don't have natural abilities in many things. So what I'll do is I'll clean the church. Because I can clean a bathroom for heaven. And then the question came. Pastor, why don't we have more on the cleaning team? Why don't we have more people that make themselves available? It's like God just is laying out my message for a Sunday morning. My answer? I don't know. Because God's not after your natural ability. He's after your availability. Maybe it takes someone to be available to clean a bathroom before they move in some type of ministry that changes millions. Right? I don't know. But I got a feeling there's an unexpected reward coming for that availability, right? Chances are, folks, we've been limiting God. It's probably why our availability might be a little off. We place limits on God, right? Why do we do that? Why do we place limits on God? Because we think we're too ordinary. That God will select somebody else that has more than what we have. See, we're looking at the wrong things. He's not looking at that natural ability. He's looking at your availability. So we look at just being ordinary as it's like some type of like handicap when God says, no, I want the ordinary. Everybody in the Bible is ordinary, right? He takes all the people in the Bible that's just ordinary. He makes them extraordinary. Why? Because they're available for some unexpected reward. You go back and do your, and you know it's right. That's exactly how it works. See, if we, scripture, pardon me, the thoughts on the screen behind me, if you have achieved everything in your life by your own ability, you have yet to tap into God's supernatural ability for you. If you've done everything through your own efforts and your own giftings and your own abilities, which still came from heaven, I'm telling you. But if you're saying these natural abilities that God gave me, you know, you listen to these sports, you know, these sports guys and ladies talk all the time. It's, you know, a lot of them, most of them, talk about what they're, you know, they're able to do. About natural ability. If that's how we talk as believers, God wants your availability for something bigger, way above what your own natural ability requires. You can only go so far with your natural God-given abilities, right? Remember the story of Moses when we used him and how he delivered the people from Egypt? God showed them all kinds of signs and wonders during that process. You go back and read, and he's done all these things. And they continued to have this disbelief, right? They continued to have a disbelief. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but if I saw all these signs and wonders, I would be believing. And he's pointing them to this place called the Promised Land. And he even calls it the Promised Land so they would get through their head that it's a promise of land. I'm not going to send you someplace that I don't promise to give you someplace to land and live. But you got to be available. The process should have been, what, under a year, right? It took them 40. And they didn't make it because they all died off except for, what, a couple? Why? Why? Psalm 78:41 reads like this. Here's why. Yes, again and again, they tempted. That means they questioned God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Question God. God, why are you doing it this way? How come I have to go this direction? Why do I have to clean the bathroom? Why do you take me through this process? I'm being available, but why do I have to go like this? Maybe you're not as worthy and available as I thought. Maybe you're not as worthy and available as you presented. Right? See, they couldn't see beyond their natural ability to get to the promised land. They couldn't see it. What couldn't they see, Pastor? They could not see the unexpected. They couldn't see it. Where are we going to eat? They couldn't see the unexpected God will feed you. Where are we going to sleep? God, they couldn't see the unexpected place that God will lay them down. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see the unexpected. They were looking through their natural abilities to get there, but they saw nothing that the supernatural, unexpected would show up. And it did, because they got there. The next generation. Hebrews 4:2, the word preached did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. What's that mean? It means your level of availability usually mirrors your level of faith. Watch what happens. Church, think. Your level of availability mirrors your level of faith. If your faith is here, your availability is here. If your faith is way up here, that's where your availability is. Why? Because you believe. So if you're kind of stuck this morning, I'm going to try to help you to get through the next layer, the next level. Your faith may be here, so your availability ends up mirroring your faith. What about that saying? That was unexpected. What about that? That was unexpected. Ever hear that? See, I didn't start with this, but I'm going to end with it. That was unexpected. What does that mean? I had no idea. Very unexpected. I didn't think is what it means. I didn't believe that would happen. That means it's possible, but not probable. Then there's this one. I didn't think that could happen. That means it's impossible. And that is, your faith mirrors your availability. I think it can happen. I think my God can do abundantly more than I ever thought or imagined. I think he's able. I think he wants to. I think he's going to take me there. I think it's going to happen if I avail myself for the unexpected. It might not be what I personally want, but it's going to be exactly what God needs right through me. And if it's me he's using, then it's got to be really good because I'm really ordinary. I'm really not that good. The more the enemy convinces you of that, the more your faith goes down, and the more your availability is limited, and the more your unexpected reward can't show up. I'm just saying this morning, I think it's an unexpected availability. You just kind of just go and say, God, here I am. I got faith. I'm a believer. I'm going to give you availability with no conditions. No conditions. Because I want the good works on June 1st to reach people that show up at our church, and I want the unexpected reward because I'm going to make myself available however you want to use me. I don't care. Just use me. Just use me. As I wrap it up, I'm going to use Isaiah 6:8 again because you're going to see maybe something you haven't seen before. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God is going to send someone. So he puts out this blanket, who should I call? Who should I send to do my work, to reach my people is what it means. And then who will go? That means who's going to be willing to do it? Who's going to make themselves available to go? Do this for us. And Isaiah said, here I am. That means he's trying to get God's attention. And then he says, send me. That means I will be available. Send me. I don't care where you're going to send me. I don't care what you're going to ask, because he tells him later. I don't care what it is. I'm going to go because I'm going to make myself available for some unexpected result. That's me. I'm going. If it's from heaven, I don't care what it is. It's better than what I'm doing today. I'm just going to make myself available. I'd rather show up on a June 1st at a car show at the church and lead 10 people to Jesus than watch the ball game on Saturday afternoon. God, just make me available for some unexpected result. Be available for the unexpected. Church, the unexpected always comes from your availability. If you don't walk out of here with anything today, church, I'm just going to say the unexpected always comes from your availability. So I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning, church, to be available. But the way you become available is you have to have faith to get to a salvation experience with the Lord Jesus. And then right in the middle of that, the very next thing is I'm going to make myself available, whatever it is. And then I'm going to have some good works that flows from my availability, and I'm going to get to that unexpected reward. That is the model. Now, some of you are sitting at the faith part. Some of you are sitting at the salvation part. Some of you are sitting at the availability part. You're making yourself available. Some people are sitting at the good works part. You're already involved. You're already doing something. God may be giving you something else to do. Maybe there's something else he wants you to do, but you've not gotten there yet, but you're going to get there. God, make me more available. And some of you are in the reward, and maybe you're in throughout the last three, right? But it doesn't start until you get saved. So I'm going to give you the opportunity with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, church. I want to lead you to the beginning of being available to heaven to be used on planet Earth. Heading for an unexpected reward that you just can't even fathom and you can't even imagine, but God's exceedingly abundantly able to deliver. And if that is you today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would ask you, just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. You don't have to come down front. I just want to pray. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Thank you. Thank you so much. You are entering a time of your life of availability. Is there anybody else? If you're watching online, you could do that right where you're sitting, whether it be in a coffee shop or your home, watching your iPhone or your device, whatever that may be. There's a button there that says you could raise your hand. If you want to do that, you can do that. You can put right in the chat, that's me. Whatever you want to do. Or you could just sit there and just pray with me as I pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, you saw the hands that were raised at the worship center today. Lord God, you saw the hearts of the people that are online. Father God, I pray right now that you do exceedingly abundantly for them. Father, they have now come to you and said, Lord, I'm sorry. They have confessed their sins to you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you show up in a mighty way. For the gentleman online this morning that's talking about taking his life, I pray that he was blessed through this service, that he's feeling the hope and power of Jesus Christ. I pray he's the one that hit the button and raised his hand today. And said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Lord God, I ask for the power of your Spirit to invade all these lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, bless them. Amen. Church, stand with me, please. Let's just wrap up in song, in celebration, and say, Lord, I'm going to make myself available for the unexpected. And before I do that, I'm just going to give you praise. God bless you. Have a great day.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Both mute and observant.